Thank you, Paula, and good morning to those of you who are just dialing in at 10:10 for Coffee with the Coder, Episode 90. Welcome. Welcome. We welcome your questions, and we welcome your participation, and please share. Let all your friends know, our colleagues, and also we'll be seeing you hopefully on social media, those of you who are there. These episodes will be posted on our social media page at aqhappenike.com. And I think it's Coffee with the Coder, you get the insider replay. So join those groups if you can. Okay, so good morning, Paula. Are you ready for the first question?
Good morning. Yeah, let me just add one little point that what I thought was interesting for today, since we were talking about diabetes in the pre-show for the insiders portion, and I hope you guys all joined us for that. Did you know today was National Walnut Day? And you say, what does that have to do with diabetes? Well, walnuts are known to help build resistance for insulin, to control your blood glucose levels, and to lower the risk of developing type 2 diabetes because they're really rich in fiber, and then fiber takes a long time to break down and digest, which ensures that slow release of sugar in the bloodstream. I know my personal physician had said to me, you know, when you really like that bowl of ice cream at night, you know, it's going to make your sugars go up a little bit, and I'm not diabetic, but I have a family history, then, you know, you really should eat your meal and, you know, so you have that fiber with your meal and eat the sugar with it because it helps to process it. So that makes sense for walnuts as well. I just thought that was an interesting point.
Thank you. All righty. Well, our first question is coming from Sandy. And Sandy says, how are rural health clinics coding and billing Medicare telehealth visits? That's something big in the news lately. So how is that done?
Oh, it is. Okay, so thanks, Sandy. CMS issued guidance on expanded flexibilities. As you know, we've got all those waivers, and those were for these specifically for FQHCs, the federally qualified health centers, and the rural health centers during the COVID-19 crisis. There are fact sheets, and I think I compiled about four or five of them here for you that we're going to attach to today's call everywhere we post it, as Pam said earlier, so you'll be able to look at those fact sheets. Basically, they state that services are allowed through audio-video telecommunication systems. Some services are allowed by audio only, and there's a list. Any health provider can perform the telehealth service as long as it is within their scope of practice to do so. The CS modifier would be appended for services related to COVID-19, and there will be no copay for those Medicare patients. Informed consent is required for care management and virtual telecommunication system. It can be obtained at the time of the visit, but that means that consent needs to be documented. I know I personally, you've probably done some telehealth visits by this point, but I know I have and have for my parents as well. And in several situations on the app, I have to accept those things before that they will go into the actual call. And then between January 27, 2020 and June 30, 2020, unless extended, rural health clinics will bill using G as in good, 2025, with the C as in Charlie, G as in good modifier. Modifier 95 is not required, but after July 1st, or July 1st and after, the CG will not be used any longer, of course, like I said, unless they CMS or chooses to extend it. And they also indicate that the home became an eligible originating site as of March 6th. So I hope that gave you the information that you needed, Sandy, and thank you for your question.
All right. Thanks, Paula. Now we're going to an anonymous question, and I do not know the type of provider, so you'll have to help me with that. We have a question about the DR, that's David Romeo modifier. The Medicare Claims Processing Manual, Section 140.1.3, Section B number 3, states to use a D as in David, not DR as in David Romeo, after the patient's unique identifier. An industry newsletter stated DR, the CMS FAQ document for Medicare A, FFS emergencies from 2019 stated DR on the claim in an appropriate modifier location. You know how we're supposed to apply that code? And then they gave some further clarification. If we alter the patient identifier on the IRFPI, it won't match the claim form unless we manually change it. When the payment is processed, we'll get a denial. We aren't sure what letter to use and where to put it. Number one, the Claims Processing Manual 140.1.3b, number three, that was referenced in the industry email, says to assign a D, not a DR, but the Medicare FFS Emergency FAQ says DR, as did an email announcement from industry newsletter. Refers back to the Claims Processing Manual, which says D. So is it DR or is it D? And the second point for clarity is if we put a D or a DR after the patient's identifier on the IRFPI and not in the patient's identifier on the UB04, when the claim is processed by Medicare from payment, they will not find a matching IRFPI. We're trying to get clarified on which modifier needs to be put in both places.
Okay, yeah, we thought this was a really important, and it's a really important question to answer. And this was, of course, since you said IRFPI, an IRF question. Basically, our research reflected that these statements do not conflict. The CMS directive FAQ for emergencies, it also includes the CR modifier, which is typically used for outpatient claims. Really not sure why it was included here, except in the case there are services that could be billed separately on the UB outside the standard IRF PPS that could be considered due to a state of emergency. Those line items could be appended with the CR modifier, and that's partial services provided in the admission are due to the crisis emergency. So CR is a HCPCS modifier. It's ordinarily used on HCPCS CPT codes. These codes are not typically used on an inpatient claim or IRF claims, but like I said, if you have those outside the scope, that may have been why they did it. That said, those regulatory guidance may be making considerations for those instances where that could occur. But to the question, the DR is not a modifier, but it's a condition code. It's used to provide information about conditions or events that apply to that billing period. And it would be listed on the UB04 claim form in the normal location for condition codes, which is form locator 18 through 28 in numerical order. So, now, as far as the process, I don't know the process in your specific facility, but it could be entered into the IRF software to cross over into the claim. It could be captured throughout the stay somewhere else in the billing process. It could be captured at admission or at discharge, you know, after discharge with the billing. So, but typically these codes are assigned on the UB before they get to the biller, I believe, and we're in other situations, though, you might have the biller adding them, just not sure of your process. Now, CMS guideline states, if an IRF admits a patient solely to respond to the emergency and the patient's medical record properly identifies the patient as such, the patient will not be included in the unit's inpatient population for purposes of calculating the applicable compliance threshold outlined in 412.29. And that's talking about meeting the compliance for 60%. It says, in the case of an emergency that is made solely to meet the demands of the emergency, a facility should clearly identify in the inpatient's medical record that the patient is being admitted solely to meet the demands of the emergency. In addition, during the applicable waiver time period, we would also apply the exception to facilities not yet classified as IRFs, but that are attempting to obtain classification in an IRF. So they go on to talk about really what this means is, and in the claims processing manual, in the claims processing, so you've got the condition code on the claim to say, you know, this is all happening in an emergency situation, and then on the in the claims processing manual, we've got this list that is created to show whether or not our patient base is related to an emergency or not, and it's that list. And I could see, you know, your organization's doing a data dump from your IRFPI software or from your billing software, and putting it into a spreadsheet, and then listing DR next to that. It says if all of the services on the claim are disaster emergency related, the institutional provider with an 1135 waiver would use the DR condition code to indicate that the entire claim or disaster emergency was related to that. And then they've got for the fee-for-service claims affected on the outpatient side, the CR is applicable. But then on the list, there's three different things, or two different things actually, based on your question, that the cases that were performed during that 12-month compliance period for your 60%, those are ones identified, let's see if I was, had another thing I wanted to say about it, with an E or a D. I didn't state that. It says, under the exception to the information provided, this is for the list, to describe the disaster situation next to the patients on the list that is submitted to the ABMAC, you would list an E or a D after the patient's unique internal hospital identification number. I expect, again, this could be easily manipulated in, you know, doing a data dump and throwing even another column in if you needed to and putting an E there. So that's, that said, it's two separate things. Sorry for that long-winded answer.
Well, thank you very much. Okay, I have another one, and this one is anonymous, and it's from an inpatient rehab. The patient said, let's see, here he goes. A patient is discharged from an inpatient rehab to assisted living. What do we use for the discharge disposition code on the UB? I was really excited because I thought I heard you teach on this before.
Yeah, and actually coming up, I was thinking, I mean, you guys let us know if you want to hear that, because I was thinking about redoing or reteaching, I guess I should say, a session on the discharge status. What we learned when we went out and looked at this, of course, you know, automatically comes to mind what we think the answer is, but then we always make sure we go out and check our sources, is that there was some information that was published and then rescinded, and so that probably caused a lot of confusion. And it's been a few years, but it did happen. So when you go out and look on the web, people who wrote articles based on that article, or the it was actually a MedLearn Matters, before it was rescinded, didn't necessarily rescind their articles. And so when you go to start reading about it, you're like, okay, wow, okay, I didn't know this. So 04 is used on the OB, the OB, the UB, if it is a state-designated assisted living, and 01 if it is not state-designated. So CMS did issue a change in March of 17, and a few days later, like I said, rescinded it. So it's 04 on the UB, if it's state-designated, 01 if it's not, and that's different on the IRF-PI. So that may be, again, also where the question is coming from. But if there isn't clarity to it, please, you know, send us another question and let us know if there's, if you need more information. And, Pam, wrapping it back up to you.
Thank you, thank you. I appreciate that so much. Well, thanks for everybody joining us. It's time for me to do a mugging. And I have one non-anonymous question. So, Sandy, you're the winner. I'm going to reach out to you at the address and information you gave me and find out where to mail your mug. So congratulations to Sandy. Thank you for everyone sending in questions. Do send more. We love your questions. And can't wait to share with you again. Now, the next episode, episode 91, is going to be on June 4th, which is 2 weeks from today. And we so hope to see you and your colleagues there. Visit us on social media. Visit us, aq-iq.com, and with email. Goodbye.